Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 14, especially these words. Jesus says, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But do you understand what you are hearing? Salt is good, but if it's not salt, it's not salt. It's not used as salt. It's thrown away. What good is that? A disciple, a Christian, is good. But if a disciple is not a disciple, not a Christian, what good is that? None. The parables in Luke 14, Jesus reminds us of the cost of following him. These parables belong to the region of sanctification. We know that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not by our works or efforts, but that Jesus does all the work. But here, Jesus reminds us of the what now. After we have been saved, what now? Count the cost. Take up the cross and be a Christian. We find these same encouragements in the Old Testament as well, in our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's Moses' last will and testament. Moses is about to die. He knows it, and all the Israelites know it. This is it. His last chance to get through to that hard-hearted people. See, I have set before you today good and evil. Therefore, choose life, says Moses. So often the people have chosen evil and death, as they rebelled against God coming up out of Egypt, as they worshipped other gods there at Sinai, as they ignored the command and the commandments of God so often, Moses reminds them that as they are God's chosen people, to act like it. If salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? If the Israelites are not God's people, what good is that? So act like God's people. Paul says a very similar thing to Philemon in the book of Philemon. Philemon was apparently a rich guy, had some slaves, and one of them ran away. Onesimus ran away and went to Paul, seeking shelter. And Onesimus is returned. Of course, Onesimus could be punished for running away, but Paul implores Philemon not to do that. Don't punish this guy. Instead, set him free, because he is more useful to you free than a slave. As a slave, he probably did manual labor for Philemon, helped with this, helped with that. But now, Onesimus is a Christian. Couldn't he do much more, speaking about Christ to all of those around him? Of course! And so Paul urges Philemon to act like a Christian and set him free. Salt has lost its saltiness. It's not good for anything. If a Christian isn't a Christian, they're not good for anything. And so when Jesus turns and tells the crowds who are following him that if they do not hate father or mother, wife and children, they cannot be his disciples. Are they following him for the right reasons? Are they following him to get some bread from the bread king? Maybe he'll feed 5,000 again. Are they following him because they're infirm? He heals people after all. Do they want to just be healed and then forget about Jesus? Is that why they're following? Or are they following because they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he has the words of eternal life? Are they following because he and he alone is the way, the truth, and the life? Are they following because Jesus and Jesus alone is the resurrection and the life, and he promises to raise them up on the last day? Is that why they're following? Do they love Jesus above all things? Isn't that the first commandment? To fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Are they willing to live like a Christian? Are the crowds that are following Jesus clamoring for bread and healing, are they willing to take up their cross? The suffering that they will endure? Remember what Jesus told Paul on the road to Damascus? I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Are they willing to suffer for Jesus? If their friends and neighbors ridicule and mock them? If they lose their job? If they suffer because the devil oppresses them? Are they willing to do that? Are they willing to live like Christians were not? If salt has lost its saltiness, what use is it? If they don't act like Christians, what use is that? They should know what they're getting into before they get into it. Nobody builds a tower and gets halfway up and then runs out of money. No, you've got to budget more carefully than that. You can't spend half your life as a Christian, then give up. What good is that? If salt has lost its saltiness, what is it used for? If a king is going out to fight a battle and he realizes he is woefully outnumbered, won't he ask for peace? He realizes what's going on and he does the prudent thing. The only option really available. Isn't that how it is? As you count the cost, isn't that how it is? What have you to offer God? Nothing. It's like a king going out with a couple soldiers facing an army of thousands upon thousands. What can you do? What can you offer to God that God couldn't do for himself or give back to God that God needs from you? Nothing. All we have is sin upon sin. We count the cost and realize what our sins will cost us. Eternity in hell. It sounds terrible to say it like that, doesn't it? But that's the truth. God knows each and every one of our sins, the ones that we know, the ones that we don't know, the ones that we excuse or forget about. He knows them all. And he demands payment. Choose life, says Moses. The people couldn't. They could not, by their own reason or strength, save themselves. As we see in the Old Testament, even after Moses dies, when they enter the Promised Land, they keep on sinning. What can they do? Moses tells them, choose life. Jesus tells them, sue for peace. Implore God for mercy. What other option have we? As we understand what the law is all about and how severe it is, we come before God as beggars, offering nothing and asking for everything. Jesus gives it all. He gives it all to you. He forgives your sins. He grants you life eternal. He feeds you day after day with word and supper. He gives it all to you. He has completed the building. He has done all the work, and he gives it all to you, that you would have, that you would continue, that you would live like a Christian. Because if you don't, what good is that? You do. You do. You know the cost of your sins and what it cost your Savior, and so you live like a Christian. You love the Lord. You support those around you. You give of your time, talents, and treasures. You do it because you know what Jesus has done for you. He has given you all. Salt has lost its saltiness. What use is it? Dear Christian, Jesus implores you not to give up, but to continue to rely upon him, to continue to do good and live your life as he would have you live it. He encourages you to be a Christian. In his name, amen.